The question was asked, how do we view what we might call modern Israeli folk songs, songs that are part of Israeli identity, and why don't we really include what's become part of Israeli culture in the songs that we learn here on Thursday night? So I would like us to approach this from two angles. Firstly, to understand what would be a general view of all kinds of songs, and secondly, our specific goal here vis-a-vis the songs that we're learning. So, in general, there's a misconception about songs that goes back over 1,000 years ago. Maimonides, the Rambam, in his commentary on Mishnah, says that people think that if a song is written in Hebrew, it's holy. And if a song is written in Arabic, it's bad. And the Rambam says a song is not gauged based on what language it's sung in, but rather based on its content. You could have a song written in content that speaks about the importance of wisdom and honesty, and that's a good song. And then you could have a song in Hebrew that's written about all kinds of desires and things that are antithetical to a Torah lifestyle, and that's a bad song. And so the Rambam says you can't judge a song based on the language it's written by. It's written in. You have to judge a song based on its content. So if we're gauging songs, we have a gauge from the Rambam. Our gauge is the content good or not good? So you can have a song like The Point of Light by Garth Brooks, right? Which is a very nice song. It's about how every individual can end up being a point of light, how every person can be a source of light in the world when we're faced with choices, and that's fine. And then you could have a song written in Hebrew that's a love song, that's really not something that we should be spending our time singing, even though it might have a catchy tune, but the content of the song is not about what we should be singing. So when we're gauging songs, we have a formula from the Rambam. The second part of the question interests me more, because I think it's a very, very important question. Our purpose in learning songs here Thursday night is to enhance the Shabbos table, to have songs that will enhance your Shabbos table Friday night, Shabbos morning, Shabbos afternoon. And when a person grows up in a traditional home, so then the songs are a part of his Shabbos. It's very obvious to him. My kids, long before they know how to read, know how to sing the Shabbos songs because it's a part of every Shabbos. So they know all the complicated words. They could be singing the Aramaic songs, the Hebrew songs, because they hear it every Shabbos. So the little ones even know how to sing the tune of Laning, because I say Kiddush, my custom is to say it in the tune that we read it in the Torah. So the little ones, before they know how to read, and for sure before they know how the Torah reading tune, they could rattle off Kiddush with that tune, because they hear it every Shabbos. What happens when a person goes through the tshuva process is that everything's new to them. And then you look at it and you say, well, Tzur Mishalo Achalnu, that's a nice song. Well, so is Yerushalayim Shel Zahav by Naomi Shemer. And so is, hey, the rabbi said Garth Brooks is fine too, so maybe at the Shabbos table we should be singing about A Point of Light. Now technically, you're right, we just said that if we're gauging songs, so then we have a formula for gauging songs. But when it comes to the Shabbos table, there are certain songs that are traditional, and there are certain songs that lend themselves to the Shabbos atmosphere. Now you'll ask me, Shlomo Kalbach lived after Naomi Shemer, so why are his songs more acceptable than Naomi Shemer's, right? And her song seems very nice about Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. It's true. And yet, somehow his songs do blend in with the Shabbos atmosphere better than Naomi Shemer. Go to an average house, you're not going to hear Naomi Shemer. Go to an average house, you're not going to hear anyone singing Hatikva. Now you might feel that way back when the state was founded, the rabbis were trying to push that the national anthem will be Shir HaMalos, B'Shuv Hashem Shivat Tzion, to the tune of Atikva. So I've been to certain people's homes where that's what they do. On Shabbos, when they say Shir HaMalos, they do it to the tune of Atikva. Shir HaMalos, B'Shuv Hashem. Okay, I'm not arguing that, even though even there, I think if there's a traditional tune that everyone sings, part of the gift that we can impart to our children is to give them a traditional Shabbos table. And even though there's no specific halacha that says, don't sing Yerushalayim Shel Zahav at your Shabbos table, that's true, But I think that it's hard enough for children to grow up in a home where the parents don't have a tradition. Where we can, we should try to make it easier on them so that our Shabbos table looks as close as possible to the traditional Shabbos table. And that's something which our children, it's a gift we can give our children. And that's why I think it's very important that we do focus Thursday nights on learning the songs that are within the traditional singing of the average Jewish home, so that you walk away from Machon Meir with those songs in your repertoire. They're easy to sing. Your wife will enjoy them. Your children will enjoy them. And when your children bring their friends over, they won't come back home and say, "What a BT home." You don't want that. Your children won't want that. So BT, Baal Tshuva. BT is the an acronym for Baal Tshuva. So, yeah. Well, yeah. You walk in Friday night, and the candles are lit on purple scented candles. No one else does that. Everyone uses plain white candles, right? You sit for the Shabbos table, and they don't have the standard white tablecloth. They have dragons, and the wife is telling you, when I was in Japan, this was really special. Now the table is down next to the floor because they want to do, tonight they decided they're doing Chinese style. So everyone's sitting down with chopsticks around the table. So you'll ask, is there anywhere in Halacha that says you can't eat your Shabbos meal with chopsticks? No. Is there anywhere in Halacha that says you can't have Chinese for Shabbos? No, it doesn't say it. You can have Chinese if that's what you want. But what are your kids going to walk away with? They're going to walk away with anything goes. And it's not anything goes. Instead of having the traditional Shabbos soup, there are smells and tastes that are a part of the Shabbos. So I don't care if the kid likes the soup or not. So he won't have that soup. He'll have something else. But I'm saying if the general theme of the Shabbos is traditional, so then you can have a quirk here and a quirk there. And as much as you'll try to be traditional, believe me, you'll have your quirks. Your Kiddush until you get it honed is going to take time, and your Zemiros till you get them honed to take time, and your accent will take time. And there are a million things that are part and parcel with running a Shabbos table, which take time, and the more time you spend by other people's Shabbos tables, the more you'll learn it. And even after you get married, you could go to people, you could go out. But at least the tunes should be traditional tunes, and that's a big gift you could give your kids. And there's always this desire to be unique, because when a person is chozer b'tshuva, that's a sign that that person is a thinker. He's an individualist. That's his strength. That's what got him here. Otherwise, he'd be where all his classmates, where all the rest of the neighborhood is. What got him here to Machon Meir? Because he's an individualist. He's a thinker. So then a person doesn't want to stop doing that once he did tshuva. So he's going to come up with a new thing. I know people who invent new things every Shabbos. I was a guest by someone who, every Shabbos, they sang the Zemiros to a different tune. They'd always challenge themselves which tune of the Beatles or something else they could match the tune to. So I remember their Deror Yikra matched, I don't know which, Deror Yikra, I know it's from the Beach Boys. Okay, not the Beatles. Okay, so you could play all this shtick, but what are your kids going to walk away with? Again, if you have one shtick, it's okay. The problem is that there are many that you don't even sense. Like the guy who comes home Friday night from shul and puts on shorts and a t-shirt. It's hot, man. What's wrong? Okay, there's no halacha that says you can't wear shorts and a t-shirt to the Shabbos table, but what atmosphere are you giving your kids? Again, and it goes on and on and on, you know. So that's why I think this is an angle where it's important. It's not about Israeli culture. It's about the Jewish Shabbos table, and that's why we're focusing on songs, which I think will enhance your Shabbos table in the long run.
Why do you think Israeli society in general seems to have, you know, kind of given up on the Israeli culture aspect, and everywhere you go, like Karlebach, Nigunim, and, you know, Shabbos Kodesh, Shabbos Kodesh type stuff?